Greetings, Chicagoland. Thank you for tuning in to the weekly program, Building Community, Strengthening Nations, based on improving lives through public service and volunteerism. Today's presentation is brought to you by the Forum to Achieve, Altruism, Compassion, and Tolerance, the FACT organization, with more than a 75-year legacy of promoting peace, harmony, equality, and social justice for all. Building Community, Strengthening Nations features newsmakers and movers and shakers engaged in enlightening discussions on current issues and events that positively impact our diverse communities. The FACT organization invites you to contact us for general information or referral services, volunteer opportunities, and suggestions, questions, or comments regarding programming topics and guests. Please call FACT at 773-424-8002 to reach our 24-hour voicemail and facsimile. Our email address is faactorg@aol.com. Now tell your friends to tune in to FACT every Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. We're streaming live over the internet at www.thechicagolighthouse.org. My name is Ruth M. Fairfax Frazier. I am the founder and executive director of the FACT organization, and today I am so pleased to serve as your host. FACT is always excited about this opportunity to share time with you, our most valued listening public, with different weekly topics of interest that positively influence our communities. However, as we always say, this can only be accomplished with your help. The fact is, we all need each other, and by uniting our efforts, we can make a positive difference for everyone. In a nutshell, FACT's combined vision and mission is to help create a better world through educating the public and coalescing with others to eradicate biases and prejudices, as well as hate crime. Chicagoland, thank you for joining FACT, Building Community, Strengthening Nations today. This is Autism Awareness Month, and we have a special treat for you today. Our program is being co-hosted by Darius Frazier. Welcome to the program, Darius.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be in this program. My name is Darius Frazier. I am the historian archivist of FACT. I want to introduce to you for today's show our esteemed and accomplished guest, Dr. Charles Joseph Smith.
And Dr. Smith inspires all he meets with his savant piano and compositional talent. Despite being diagnosed as a child with autism, Charles completed his undergraduate degree in piano performance and composition from Roosevelt University and continued to receive his doctoral from University of Illinois in Champaign.
Charles has just completed his autobiography, Thriving, Not Just Surviving, which highlights his accomplishments despite troubles with being on the autism spectrum. Welcome to the program today, Dr. Smith.
Hello. How are you doing, Ruth?
I'm doing well. Well, Darius, who is also on the autistic spectrum, has put together a number of questions for you. Darius, would you like to get us started?
Yes.
I have them in front, and I already wrote down what I was going to answer.
Wonderful.
For not all of them, but
okay.
I was trying to rush because the interview happened nearly on the last minute.
Okay.
When and how were you diagnosed with autism?
Well, mainly through old school tests at the University of Chicago Hospital, near the place where I was born, which was called Chicago Lying-In Hospital at that time. It's no longer that. It has a new name, the University of Chicago Hospitals. And I was diagnosed in 1975 with selective mutism.
And can you discuss what was it like to have mutism?
Okay, it started about... Actually, 3 years ago, about 1 year when I was born, I was 2 years old, I think, in 1973, when I started to have a bit of mutism and gradually worsened around 1975, peaked in 1976, and then started to wane at late 1976. So the mutism got worse in age five and went down just before the end of age five.
How did you develop a love of music, and what made you decide to pursue music as a career?
We came from a musical family. My mother loved soft rock and church music. My father grew up with R&B and Afro-Cuban music and Motown and jazz. Blending them together, hearing them on the radio, records, all that stuff. And while listening to the radio and also watching music on TV, culminated into my start of loving music.
Well, how has autism affected your music?
Basically, it caused me to appreciate music much more quickly. So, of course, in my first had piano lessons, I had the savant syndrome, which caused me to have to move up about 5 or 6 grade levels up with my brother, who also took piano lessons. This was 1979, and I was 8. I started piano lessons when I was 8. And so that savant syndrome caused me to move up probably in the ranks in piano proficiency level.
So you caught on much quicker than most other students.
Yeah. So I felt like a little bit like a Mozart effect. Mozart had his savant thing. So, and it's a little bit almost like what Emily Bear, the famous pianist composer, had. Something like savant syndrome. She's very famous right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to be as famous as Emily Bear.
Wow, we're looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Okay.
What genres of music are your specialties?
Basically, I'm a bit crossover now. With borrowed composers, I do mainly classical. I do some jazz. Sometimes I do avant-garde stuff. In my compositional output, my genres are mainly neo-romantic, neoclassical, some crossover, classical, and avant-garde.
Okay. And in addition to being an accomplished pianist, do you perform other musical instruments?
Yes, a bit of guitar, a bit of bass guitar, a fair amount of organ. Since we used to have a console organ in the 1980s, I still play the organ at one of my part-time church jobs. Mm-hmm. But most of the stuff I do is piano related. I can do some hand percussion. I also tried playing the recorder and saxophone, but it was a little bit not easy for me to keep it.
How do you utilize your gift of music? Please tell us about composing and teaching.
So basically, after learning what Mozart had, at one time, the autism kept me from sharing the gift. The mutism effect, what happened about, kept me from like showing my gift in age 8 to age 10. But by age 11, I decided to gradually open out that I had the gift of music. It's not easy to... And about composing and teaching, basically, I started composing at age 10, and then I started like transcribing borrowed works and then going into original works later. I started composing longhand, and then I had a music notation program we got in 1993, I think, which I now use still. It's called Finale Music Notation. So right now I still compose either longhand or through Finale.
Okay. Well, I understand that you know more than just the English language. Are you proficient in any others?
Yes. I'm a teeny bit like a polyglot.
Okay.
So basically, my first language was English, and then I took Spanish first. Then I think French second, German third, Italian fourth. I think I also learned a bit of Russian, and I think a teeny bit of Latin. Teeny bit.
What is your most memorable performance?
The best one was at, I think, Bethel AME Church in Bronzeville, June 27th, 1986. I was performing the piano concerto in D minor, the 20th piano concerto by Mozart with the Southside Family Chamber Orchestra. And there was about 1,000 people attended, and so it was probably the biggest point in my musical gifts. I was 15 at that time.
Right, so that's very impressionable at a young age, so that was really significant.
The inspiration came from Earl Calloway, who was an aficionado, and he was like a scout trying to find African-American music talents in Chicago, and he found that I had the gift and was able to book that concert.
Wonderful.
Regrettably, Earl Calloway passed away recently, so it's...
Yeah.
So he was a good guy. He appreciated like talents like myself and all that.
Right. And he will definitely live on because of all that he's accomplished.
Yeah.
So we'll always enjoy him. And what is your favorite music venue and why?
Well, I cannot find any one. Mm-hmm. Because I've been through traditional ones, DIY ones. So right now, because I like the cultural center more than any other, I liked it because in 2005 I was a pianist and dancer at the John Cage Music Circus.
Mm-hmm.
Let me rephrase it. It was 2007, October 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Another of my performances. So the reason why I like the Cultural Center is like they have a multi-purpose effect. They have a theater where they have play. They have some performances. They have other performances in other places too.
Mm-hmm.
Lectures, presentations mainly.
Mm-hmm.
Art displays as well as music. So that's why I still like the Cultural Center.
Okay.
What styles of dance do you enjoy? And what are your favorite dance moves?
Let's go with the favorite dance moves. Okay, two of the favorite dance moves right now include the tornado spin, commonly done by Michael Jackson, and also the Y-shaped dervish spin, commonly seen by Diana Ross. You may have seen that in The Wiz. So,
mm-hmm.
And so as for style of dances, it's eclectic. I almost like everything dance. I like the traditional stuff. I like ballet and jazz. I also like ballroom, Latin, mm-hmm. swing, even some hip hop dances.
Great.
Some fad dances that are even some dances that are just no longer around. I also had an interest in line dancing too.
Okay.
Not every line dance, but some.
Well, hopefully in the future, we're going to get a chance to see you dance in addition to perform with music.
Yeah.
I understand you have a new book in the works.
Yeah, so, as I mentioned before, the autobiography I started in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, it is pre-released right now, but I'm starting volumes 2 and 3 of the same thing because I have a lot of stuff to tell in my unique life right now. It's somebody is editing volume 1 right now.
Beautiful.
So, and eventually at the Cultural Center on April 15th, I'm going to try to release volume 1 on CDR data format.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
How did you become an autistic mentor?
Basically, I am not truly an autistic mentor, but actually, I'm more of a performer than teacher, because I did not go too much on the lecture circuit to tell people about my life. I haven't been to TED talks where I was a major speaker. I've never been a major speaker in conferences related to autism and all that. But I'm getting close. I'm getting close.
And so you're teaching us by example.
So basically, I focus on inspiration through the performance aspect, the spirit of performance and all that. But I am starting to do some music teaching tutorials on YouTube.
Okay.
So, but mainly general music stuff, not autism related stuff. But eventually, I'll be almost like Temple Grandin, almost.
Okay.
Because she graduated with a doctorate at the same university that I attended, U of I.
Okay.
She graduated in 1989.
Mm-hmm. And she is definitely a wonderful autistic mentor.
Big story.
Now, Dr. Smith, you mentioned your love for the Chicago Cultural Center. And here in Chicago, we love that venue because, as you said, it has such a variety of what it offers to the greater Chicagoland area. And people tour it from around the world. But I understand in April that on behalf of Autism Awareness Month, you will be there. What date is that again?
So April 15th, 3 p.m., I thought it was going to be at the dance studio at first floor, but I realized it's changed to the Garland Room.
Which is larger.
Which is the southeast area of the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll provide the piano for me to perform.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, So I've been familiar with the Cultural Center for over, I think, 20 years. So I loved, like, my favorite part of the Cultural Center is the Claudia Cassidy Theater on the third floor.
Great.
Right, where I frequent to see my friends perform in presentations, mainly through music, mainly.
Okay. Well, you know, speaking of performances, on Sunday, April 23rd at 2 p.m., you will be at the Christ Church of Highland Park, which is located 1713 Green Bay Road in Highland Park, Illinois. And for those who aren't familiar with the Chicago Cultural Center, it is located in downtown Chicago, and the address is 78 East Washington Street, Chicago, Illinois, directly across the street from Millennium Park. And then on Sunday, April the 30th at 3 p.m., you are with Life Builders, Inc. on the second floor theater complex, and that address is 6855 South Emerald Avenue. And then we're looking at the month of May, which is an extension here in the Chicago area of the celebration of autism, because we have an organization, national organization, that does a walk at Soldier Field, and that's Autism Speaks. That's going to be held on Saturday, May 13th at Soldier Field, 1410, that's 1410 South Museum Campus. Is scheduled for a half a day event. It opens registration at 9 in the morning, 10 o'clock opening ceremonies, 10:15 begins the walk, and 11 o'clock is an after party. And the event basically concludes at about 1 p.m. And on Saturday, May 13th, you will be at 2nd Presbyterian Church, 1936 South Michigan Avenue, as part of the Autism Speaks Walk event, which is near Soldier Field. So we're very excited about all these opportunities you have to help us celebrate in Autism Month.
Yeah, so, and a little bit past. But the problem, here's a little bit of a problem. The Life Builders thing is not yet confirmed. It may be canceled because the owner of the place is trying to there is some logistical problems in booking. So
we will let our audience know as we get closer to that date if we're still on for that event for you to attend. And Darius, did you have another question for us?
No, but this is Darius Fraser signed off for today. I am on my way to DJ a show at Lakeland College in Mattoon, Illinois.
Well, thank you so very much, Darius. And for those who want to tune in to that station, it is
www.899themax.com.
Okay, and that's Lakeland College, Mattoon, Illinois, www.themax.com. All right. So we hope everyone tunes into that as well as to Chris Radio. Thank you for joining us. Darius was calling in to be a part of today's program. And as we continue with just a couple more questions before we conclude today, Dr. Smith, can you tell us how music and autism correlate together?
Yes. Well, basically, of course, there's the savant syndrome that is already mentioned. And well, a great example is like the visually impaired musician and savant, Derek Parravicini, who is famous as a pianist in the UK. I found out that he can play tens of thousands of songs in virtually every genre.
Wow.
right. So, and then, of course, but so I was thinking about Mozart, and I don't know if he had autism. That I was thinking Mozart when they have music and autism. Of course, there's that good old French word savant again. So it's so basically Well, of course, in the past, they call these people idiot savants. So,
and we don't do that.
Yeah, just like in Rain Man, you've heard about that. Just that's just. So basically, of course, yeah. Sometimes music and autism, like,
it can
work with us, or it can work against us, depending on the age of the person, depending on the resources the one has, and the ability, the actual ability of the person to perform music or do music or write music or create.
So I have to
do some more research on that, because I have to look into it.
Well, I'd like to compliment your accomplishments in music, and
yes,
just like to add that both Darius and I are on the autism spectrum, and even though we come from a musical family and everyone else in our family performs, we can't carry a tune or follow the rhythm. So it definitely works specifically against the two of us, even though everyone else seems to benefit from it. But I guess that's just in life, you know.
I know.
Okay. But, you know, there are many plans for you for the future. Can you just share a few of those before we leave the air today?
Okay. Basically, I probably would like to be a music lecturer at some college or university. Or probably be a dance instructor, or probably create some more original writing material. Well, like this autobiography, and just try to, and probably now. So, if I was thinking of some type of cross country book tour, and when I have enough resources in, and probably even go across Europe, because I've been to Europe before in the 2000s decade. So spread the word about my book, all that.
All right. Well, it's a lot in store. And if you want to reach Dr. Charles Joseph Smith, he does have a GoFundMe campaign to support his mission. And you can email Lynn West, that's LYNN.WEST7@gmail.com, or you can call 630-661-9378. This will help promote Dr. Charles' autobiography, publication of his compositions, and concerts promoting his book, Thriving, Not Just Surviving. And we've been very fortunate to listen to some tunes by Dr. Smith, and we'll be closing out the program with another tune. Thank you so much, Dr. Smith, for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Ruth.
All right. Have a great week, Chicagoland. Bye now.